Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Welcome to church, everybody. Again, we're, for all the people who are guests here, we welcome you in the house of the Lord. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, a very familiar passage. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, who are his missionary partners. And he's writing it from jail. Isn't it amazing how Paul writes from jail and tries to find a way to encourage other people? Don't you reckon that's... Like Philippians, right? That's the place where we read, obviously, this Philippians 3, but like Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Like, who says that from prison, encouraging somebody else who's out there free watching Fetch TV or Foxtel and enjoying the freedoms of life? Who says rejoice in the Lord from prison, right? Like, when's the last time, well, not that any of you are in prison because you're here now, but you know, like, when you're discouraged, like, one of the things I've learned is to encourage others in your discouragement. And so, that being said, you know, like, Philippians 4 also says, don't be anxious for anything, but with prayer, petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request before the Lord. That's verse 6. Verse 7 says, the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Then we skip over to verse 12, and it talks about being content in all things. And then in all things, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He's writing that from prison. So that gives us a bit of a context for the scripture. So the scripture arrives at us in Philippians 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to jump straight to verse 8 to 14. So if you've got a Bible, go with me to verse 8 of Philippians 3. If you don't have a Bible, you can just read it up off the screen here. Verse 8 says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ's and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings. We like the power of resurrection. Yay! I stand on that promise, Lord. Give me the power of the resurrection. Then the next part, and to what? Share his sufferings. You're like, oh. Share sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Verse 11, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Everybody say, by any means possible. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press. Everybody say press. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. The title of my message is simply that word, press. Encourage three people around you. Encourage them to press. So during this week, it's been a crazy week, right? During this week, it's been just this oppression that's tried to happen. How many of you know, like, there's circumstances that are hard, there's hardships that are a result or a circumstance because of the things that you've done beforehand that equals that circumstance. So it's kind of like a result of the things that you've done, you encounter hardship, right? But then there's certain things that are way out of your control that you're kind of like, why is this happening right now? Some of it may be coincidental, but like when you recognize the resistance of the enemy, there are a couple things you need to know, okay? When you recognize that there's a result, you need to understand, like, ask the question, firstly, is this circumstance that I'm walking through, is this hardship that I'm walking through a result or a consequence of what I've done in the past, right? It's not that you're necessarily seeing it as karma, but, like, sometimes the result of that thing, that hardship that you're facing is because of certain things that you've done in the past that A plus B equals C, right? But then there are things that are way out of your control. You haven't done anything for those sorts of things to happen, and it just all seems to heap on you. And then you start to realize, man, why is this happening to me? Anybody been through that before? It's been one of those sorts of weeks for me, to be honest. But I press. Write this down. When the enemy puts pressure on you, press back. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I choose to press against the pressure of the enemy because he has already given me the power and the authority to stamp on his head. So I'm going to do the haka on his forehead. That's what I'm going to do. Because most people in this sort of circumstance would see, man, you know what? I'm just facing this and I feel so discouraged that I'm not going to respond. The Spirit of the Lord would encourage you today. And hopefully you're seeing that this sermon and this message is a lot more than just me talking. It's me walking it through with you today. Encouraging you all to fight the good fight. It's a good fight when he's lying down. It's not a good fight when he's standing up and you're lying down. That's not a good fight. The good fights that I've seen. Last week's fight was not a good fight either. After seeing the replay. Don't worry, to all my pinoys and pinays, I felt your pain. But we fight a good fight. So we put pressure on the enemy. Now, we're going to understand where that empowerment comes from. Now, when we go back to verse 8, it says, indeed, I count everything as loss. Like everything is not worth striving for. But this thing that God wants to highlight, I count it all as loss. What does he count it as loss for? Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. There's a surpassing worth, the worth of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord, like these brothers and sisters have responded just now, is worth a lot more than anything. If you read the verses before it, I was going to break it down, we don't have time, but basically he's talking about his accolades and his persecution that he's gone through. And he says, I count that all as rubbish. Now the Greek word for rubbish there is a lot stronger than that. It's a lot stronger than rubbish. It's manure, it's dung. In the King James it says dung. What is it about knowing everything else? Like, see, sometimes as Christians, we say, oh, Jesus is number one, and then number two, close number two is my family, or close number two is my career, or close number two is money. It shouldn't even be close. Knowing that, in comparison to knowing God, should be like dung. What is it about dung? Well, three things, right? Firstly, dung stinks. So anything that comes second, third, fourth, fifth priority needs to stank. I don't stink, but stank in comparison to knowing God. Number two, it doesn't just smell bad, but it looks awful. Like when you look at your car or when you look at, don't go home and say, well, you know, Pastor Nelly told me not to prioritize you, my family, so you're all dunged. No, don't go home and say that. But I'm just saying, in terms of prioritizing Jesus above all else, it needs to appear, the distance between first and second needs to appear like that of a throne room and that of dung. It needs to look bad. It needs to smell bad. And number three, the thing about dung and manure is it's good fertilizer for growth. See, you don't grow properly in the kingdom of God until you realize those things are dung. It's only when you recognize the dungness of everything in comparison to the Holy Spirit, to our King Jesus, that's when you begin to grow in Jesus. Because the death of all those things becomes the fertilizer of the seed of the Word of God, which germinates in our hearts. You can't grow in God unless you recognize those things are dung. It's all dung. It is all dung. Verse 10 as well as verse 8 talk about this knowing God. It's not just knowing about him. It's not just going to a leadership class or a Bible study and knowing about him in your mind. It's knowing him intimately. How well do you know God? It's different from knowing about him, the knowledge attained that you can get from like an encyclopedia. How well do you know God? Now, many of you have heard my example, like my beautiful wife is sitting right at the back there. If we're walking around Garden City and she's on the opposite side of the mall, but she coughs, I recognize her cough anywhere. And I'm like, oh, that's my wife. I know exactly where she is. Because I know her that well. She doesn't need to call me twice because I know her. We know each other intimately. That's my wife. That's my girl. Now, it's interesting, though, in Luke 6:45, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? There's a repetition there. And don't do what I say. The thing about calling your name twice is because in order to get their attention, your voice needs to be recognizable, but it's not recognizable because you don't know them. Do you know God? Does he recognize your voice? Do you recognize his voice when he speaks to you? You shouldn't have to wrestle. See, because if you know him, there's certain decisions that are easier to make. If you know him, you know who you're called to walk with. If you know him, you know what career path you should take. If you know him, you know how to handle your money. You know how to be generous with your money because you recognize it's not your own. When you know him, you begin to live differently. And that's why, you know, it says in Matthew 7 that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit, because if you know him, the fruit of knowing him starts to show up in love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, let me land the plane here. Are you with me? Let's jump down to verse 12. It says, not that I have already obtained this. So Paul is saying, I don't have it yet, but I'm pursuing it. Or that I'm already perfect, but I press. Everybody say press again. I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Who would say in here that I'm so glad that Christ has made me his own? How many of you are like glad that God has made you his own today? Yeah, all right. We've got seven people. All right, we're working on it, God. We're working on it. Revelation come. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Typical male, right? He says, one thing I do, and then he goes into three things. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, number one, straining forward to what lies ahead. Number three, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. The reason why a lot of us go through persecution and resistance is because there's a character that God breeds under pressure. The word charis, actually, which is the word where, Greek where we get the word gifts, is actually the root word of the word character from the Greek. Charis goes into character, right? But the gifts weren't meant to just, you know, for people to just give out without the character that matches them. How many of you have seen gifted people without character that only last so long? God wants character to go with those giftings that he gives us. And if you look at the Greek meaning that from for charis, it's actually the word that is used when you put pressure on a metal surface that forms coins. And because of that impression, you begin to see, okay, this thing is of value. This metal coin that I have is of value because it has the imprint at that time of Caesar and of our time, Queen Elizabeth, because it has the stamp, it has the charis, the impression under pressure that proves out to give the imprint that determines the value of that thing. Some of us go through situations of extreme pressure that point us towards God so that we will press towards him, because otherwise we wouldn't normally press into God because we think we have it all together. But it's in those sorts of situations, and I just sense prophetically there's many of us that are going through similar situations where we just don't know what he's doing. We just don't understand why he's doing what he's doing. But under that pressure forms the impression of the one who gives us the strength to press towards him. Character comes out in those moments. My last thought is this. I have here, I was showing this to the youth earlier today. This is for all my Pinoys in here. I went to Quiapo last year, and I went and got this for a sermon illustration. I finally get to use it today. This is Nelly Atinga's Harvard degree in theology from Quiapo. Those of you who don't know what Quiapo is world-renowned for producing driver's licenses, passports, and certificates like this one, which qualifies me for a PhD in theology. But the thing is, if you know the certificate well enough, you'll look at it and see this is not a real certificate. For one, Benson, you can verify this, they spelt my name Neil. Just like when I go to Starbucks. Neil. When you look at it up close, you recognize, man, this is fake. And many of you who know me started laughing immediately. Why? Because you know that I haven't gone through a process to achieve a real certificate. There's not been that pressing. And how many of you know there's a lot of pressure to get a PhD from Harvard? There's the pressure of study, and oh my gosh, the pressure of finances. Oh my goodness, the pressure of trying to get a visa. Here I am trying to get a two-week visa to do a master's program at Wheaton College, which is prestigious. But in order to attain this sort of certification, there has to be a pressure applied that I have to walk through in order to get the real deal. But too many of us are walking around with Quiapo certificates in the spirit, acting like we got it all together when really we don't. And God is calling us to lay this stuff down. Stop holding up the front. And start to embrace the pressing, because when the pressure comes, we need to press back. In these moments, like I look at this week, Guys, I look at this week, the week that I've gone through, and I haven't gone into detail on purpose because I don't want to give the enemy any glory. But me standing here right now is applying pressure to the pressure that's been put on me. And I want to encourage you today to put pressure on the pressure that's been put on you whenever you go through it. Even if you haven't gone through it before or you're not currently going through it, put pressure on the enemy by living your life out loud for Jesus. It's time to put pressure on him. Otherwise, we walk around being led by our emotions. When the pressure comes, we run. Or the pressure comes and we run to the solace of other things that will never satisfy. The very things that God delivered us from, they start to become attractive under pressure. And you start to see who your real God is that you rely on. And rather than running towards Jesus, you run back to the bottle. Rather than running towards Jesus, you go back to that phone number you still didn't delete off your phone. Girl, what you doing? Because you can't find that. And then we come to certain places and then we feel like we have to hold up a fake certification as if we're walking like we got it all together. God wants us to lay this down. No more fake IDs. It's time to walk with the reality of understanding that the pressure that comes is for a purpose. And the pressure that comes is an opportunity to glorify God. I want to encourage these people in here today. I know you're going through hard times. I knew this prophetically yesterday, as soon as God said, okay, Pastor James is not coming, you're on. I said, I know this is the word of the Lord for my church. You're going through hard times. And if you haven't, this is one of those messages you need to stick in your back pocket to remember so that when the pressure comes, I didn't say if the pressure comes, when the pressure comes, you know how to press back. So will you today choose to just say, you know what, I'm not going to let the enemy get the better of me. I'm putting pressure on the enemy. I'm going to live a lifestyle like even when I am under pressure, I'll use it as a platform to glorify God. Even when the enemy tries to throw stumbling blocks in my way, I'll turn those stumbling blocks into stepping stones to glorify God. Whatever he brings your way, recognize that these are opportunities to give him glory. I'm not standing here on my own merit. It's by the grace of God that I'm standing here today able to deliver this message to you. Because everything in my spirit says, you know what? You're exhausted. You don't need to do this. Your son's just snuck in from the kids' church. There's a lot of pressure. I don't want one of these. This is a sermon illustration. I don't want a fake degree. I recognize that this pressure is for a graduation certificate that is greater than anything that I could ever ask or imagine. It's the graduation towards eternity and eternal life in Christ Jesus. Lord, as I'm here with my spiritual family today, we come in recognition of the processes, the seasons that we go through. Some of us are in great seasons. Lord, I don't want to put a damper on anyone that's having a great season. Lord, let them continue to be blessed. Lord God, continue to walk with them and cause them to experience your joy in new, fresh ways. But Lord, I want to pray for everybody in here who's felt discouragement, who's felt the pressure of life, who's felt like even to get here today was a battle because we just didn't feel like getting here today. There's so much going on. If that's you today, just lift both hands to the Lord and say, that's me today, Pastor Nelly. I needed that. My hands are up because I needed to preach to myself. Just saying. Lord, we surrender our situations to you. And Lord, with lifted hands, we choose to put pressure on the pressure of the enemy. Lord, we recognize that the greater the spiritual resistance, the greater the victory will be to your glory. And I thank you for the promise, Lord, that the enemy only resists those who are a threat to his kingdom. Lord, that the pressure that we sense is merely a sign that we're on the right track. So we choose to press. We thank you for your presence in this place. For 2 Corinthians says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom. We thank you for that freedom today. We thank you for that liberty. We thank you that the chains of oppression are now broken. We declare that they are broken right now in Jesus' name. So, So God, as we leave this place encouraged by the word, we thank you for faith, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And Lord, as we leave this place, I just declare as the pastor of this house that we are commissioned and sent to be vessels that will bring your joy into every environment we walk up, we walk into. To God be the glory forever and ever. And all the saints said amen. Can we give God praise?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.